Well, this evening we begin a series on dining with Jesus, and this evening we're looking at dinner with a tax collector, and we are in Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 27 through 32. After this, Jesus went on and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to the sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." May the Lord bless his words to our hearts and minds this evening. Well, this evening we begin a series, as I said, on dining with Jesus, and so I thought I would sit at a table. Now, I know that some of us even were thinking, well, can you have dining with Jesus without a meal? And we're going to tonight, because Ash Wednesday, many people are fasting, and so I wanted to respect that. But there's also something to be said for an empty table, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. But I wonder if you just reflect with me for a minute about your experience around a table. Your family table, maybe it was a table that you grew up with, that you shared Thanksgiving dinner with or Christmas dinner. Think of the things that happen around a table. We share the joys and burdens of life. We find that joys are multiplied and burdens are divided. Around the table, we share our stories. I've heard many stories where a young man proposed at the dinner table or asked the parents if he could ask the daughter. I'm not going to think about that now. It's too far in the distance, but there's other moments. You've maybe told your parents about your grade report around a table, or as a parent, you've heard the story about why the grade report wasn't what you thought it might be, or you've shared the stories about what happened at work, what happened at school, what happened at the playground. And so when we gather around the table, it's a very human moment. It's a very beautiful moment. And so often when we think about Jesus, we think about maybe it's the multitudes when we think about Jesus' teaching, or we think about the miracles when we think about Jesus' divinity. But when we think about the meals, I like us to think about the humanity of Jesus. And I think his humanity is so important because it reminds us that Jesus came to share our lives, to share the pain and the suffering as well as the joys and sorrow. And many times he did it around a dinner table. And so this evening I want to think about this first that we'll look at, which is a time when Jesus shared dinner with Levi, or Matthew, as he was later called, around a table. So I invite you to walk back into the story. And the story goes, this is Jesus was just beginning to call the disciples. He just called the disciples, Peter, James, and John, from their fishing industry. Had a couple incidents. Jesus healed a leper who was an outcast. Jesus also was teaching in a moment. And you recall that some friends came with a friend of theirs who was a paralytic, couldn't get in the house and wanted Jesus to heal him, and so they climbed up on the roof and hoisted their friend up and then tore a hole in the roof and then let down this young man and asked Jesus to heal him. I can only imagine that moment. Sometimes we think about everything being prim and proper and imagine somebody sort of breaking into our home through the roof. But Jesus accommodated them, and then Jesus goes and does this amazing thing where Jesus goes into sort of the office of Matthew, who was known as Levi at that time, the tax collector. Now, as I said before, the tax collectors were even worse than the regular sinners. You think about all the list of sinners, bad things that people can do, and then there was tax collectors. Now, tax collectors got their money by supporting, collecting taxes for either Herod or the Romans, right? And so both of them were bad. And often they were complicit with each other. And then they were viewed as traitors because not only did they do that, but they extorted the people for extra money, and that's how they made their living. And so they were despised even beyond regular sinners. They had their own category of sinners. And Jesus walks into the office of Levi and invites him to follow him. Now, it reminds me, among other things, that Jesus comes into not just our church, but also into our places where we work, the places where we go to school. And he shares the burdens of those moments. And so think for a moment about maybe the burdens that you go through now at work. We certainly know about this tragedy that we've shared and spent a lot of the day texting my daughter back and forth as she knew these young men who were in this accident, and the grief that we sometimes share there at school, wherever we are, that Jesus walks into that moment with us. It isn't just about church. It's about all of our life. So Jesus walks into the world of Levi, invites him to follow him, and Levi was moved by that moment. He was an outcast. He was an outsider, and Jesus invited him into the inner circle, what would become the inner circle of his disciples. Levi's life was forever changed. In fact, so much so that he changed his name to Matthew. He was known by Matthew, of course, wrote the Gospel of Matthew and shared many of the moments with Jesus. His life was so changed that he also did the only thing he really knew how to do to celebrate a life-changing moment, which was to have a dinner party. And he invited all his friends, none of whom were the religious insiders, the good folks, the right folks from the community. They were all other sinners and tax collectors. And so Jesus accepted that invitation to come to Levi's, now Matthew's home, and have this wonderful time with Jesus' new disciples. And as they're eating and enjoying this celebration, then the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, came to his disciples and began to complain that he was eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, the worst people, the outsiders. And Jesus looked at them and said, "The doctor has come for those who are sick, and I have come to see sinners repent." And it reminds us, I think, that Jesus welcomes all of us to be his followers. And so wherever you are on your journey of life, whether you feel like you're an insider, an outsider, or somewhere in between, Jesus walks into our office and into our workspace, into our school space, and invites us to follow him. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus comes into our home. No matter what condition our home is, no matter what kind of friends we have, Jesus walks in, and Jesus wants to not only share a church service with us, Jesus wants to break bread with us, and to share a meal, to share life, to share our very humanity. And so he does in this moment. But to pause just for a moment on the religious leaders, my mom used to say now and then when we had, you know, folks who would kind of look down at another person or other, she would say, "Some folks are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." Did anyone, parents, say that? I don't know what happened to that saying, but it's a good one. And I think if you were going to say something, maybe even Jesus would say that, about these Pharisees and scribes, these religious leaders, it would be they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Fortunately, we can't say that about Jesus, because Jesus looked at them and welcomed everyone into his midst, even the religious leaders, that they've just sort of changed the direction that they were going. And so I wonder this evening, as we begin this journey of Lent, a journey that leads us to Calvary, wherever we are in that journey, to find ourselves around the table with Jesus. Now, it's interesting because in Matthew's account, I wanted to use Luke because we're doing Luke, but Matthew's account, and since it was Matthew's house, and Matthew was the one whose life was changed, Matthew adds one phrase that Luke doesn't have, and I rather like that phrase, which is Jesus quotes the Old Testament and says, "I desire mercy rather than sacrifice." And I think when we think about the season of Lent, we all normally think about a season of sacrifice. Now, some of you may have done Fat Tuesday yesterday, the time of feasting, much more famous than Ash Wednesday, right? You look in New Orleans, what's going on, the king cake and all those kinds of things. I have a nephew in New Orleans, and he was in the parade, and his birthday was Sunday, so it was a raucous time, a celebration. But there's also the time of prayer. And so many times when we think about Lent, we think about giving something up. But here in this moment, Jesus is talking about adding something to our life. And so my challenge this Lent to all of us, myself including, is whatever you're giving up, and there's lots of good things. People give up sugar and chocolate and other kinds of celebratory kinds of things or certain kinds of food. But what about adding something? What about adding an act of mercy to your season of Lent? And maybe it's something simple. Just think about some way that you could share something with someone who maybe doesn't have a feast of celebration but an empty table like we have here this evening. So many people in our neighborhood, in our community, and around the world who have an empty table, and we don't often think about that. They're outsiders in a different way than perhaps Levi was, but they're outsiders nonetheless. And I was thinking about someone who made this challenge to each day to do some act of kindness that was maybe anonymous or shared with someone. My daughter and I are trying to share some moments of kindness. And maybe it is just buying a dinner at McDonald's, a breakfast thing for a homeless person. Maybe it's just sending even a dollar to St. Jude's Hospital. I don't know what it is for you. And then maybe you could share it with the person that's closest to you, because you'll find, I think, in this journey towards Calvary, that is, you share an act of mercy that will also be, whatever the sacrifice is, it will be a time of joy. It'll be time of gratitude if you just let it build. But don't think about that. Just think about sharing an act of mercy. Jesus said, I desire mercy over sacrifice. And so this Lent, think about those who are less fortunate than ourselves and ask maybe if they couldn't be around your table to share some part of your table, be it a lunch, a dinner, an act of mercy, an act of kindness, reaching out to friendship to befriend someone who is the last, the lonely, the lost, the forgotten that are with us. Some amazing things can happen. I think for a moment of the story of Harriet Tubman, who was a former slave who escaped, and she became an abolitionist in the 1800s, and she used to lead slaves, former slaves, along the trail to freedom in the north. And at one particular moment, there were often slave owners who were pursuing them from the south. She and some 11 slaves that she was leading towards freedom had to hide as they heard some people who were pursuing them, and they laid down in the swampy mud, fearing for their lives. And at one point, she noticed a white man who was walking along, and he spotted them. And she feared for her life for that moment, but then she noticed that the white man walked closer to her and then just sort of put his finger up and had a key in his hand and put it into the dirt, and he pointed towards a barn before he left. So when night fell, Harriet Tubman went over to where he had placed the key, and she picked up the key, and her and the other slaves went to this barn, and they used the key to unlock the door. And inside they found a barrel of cold water. And on the barrel was a note, refresh yourself for the journey that you're on. And she said that meant amazing things to her and the other slaves as they were refreshed at that moment and were able to continue their journey. Who could you, this season of Lent, share a glass of water with? Who could you share a meal with that it might make a difference? Someone outside your circle, maybe someone outside our social strata, someone outside of our freedoms that we enjoy that could make all the difference in their life. Another story that I want to share in closing. I was moved by the story that I heard of this young 24-year-old Israeli by the name of Ben Yehuda. And in 2012, he had a moment where he was trying to become the youngest Israeli ever to achieve the summit on Mount Everest, 29,000 feet, an amazing accomplishment. And along the way, he noticed that when he was within the last 1,000 feet, that there was a 64-year-old Turkish man by the name of Avid Irmak. And Irmak's oxygen mask had come off. He didn't have gloves on, and he was just lying in the snow. And Ben Yehuda decided in this range called the death zone, where if you don't have oxygen and if you stay for very long, then you can die. And so he gave up his assault on Mount Everest and took 9 hours to drag this other person who was of a different faith in a different country back to safety to the camp. Well, later the news picked up the story, and it turned out that he was being awarded the Israeli Presidential Medal of Honor a couple years later. And he was asked, why did he give up his dream of becoming the youngest Israeli ever to make the summit of Mount Everest and to rescue this 64-year-old climber that apparently he didn't really even know? But he said this. He said, well, because we shared a meal together. Apparently, at the camp before that assault, they had shared a meal together, and so when he saw him, he realized, I want to give up my dream of becoming the youngest Israeli to make the summit of Mount Everest and to rescue this person's life that I shared a meal with. You and I, by sharing a meal, can share our life. We can learn about people. We can grow friendships that we wouldn't have otherwise. And so in this time of sacrifice of Lent, in this journey that we take with Christ towards the cross, who came and shared with those of us, all of us, who are outsiders, to bridge the gap by his act of grace and love on Calvary, I wonder, could we share our table with those who are less fortunate, a table that may even be empty this evening by an act of mercy, by an act of grace at God's table? Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Lord, as we come around this table as a symbol of the life that you shared with us, your humanity and our humanity that you were willing to share, to take upon yourself, and we begin this journey of Lent and put ashes and a symbol of a cross on our heads. Help us, Lord, to add an act of mercy each day as we journey with you, that we may share your love to those who are the lost, the lonely, the last, who are often marginalized and forgotten. In so doing, they may know your grace and love, and we may make new friends. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.